Well, good afternoon and welcome to another edition of In Transition. My name is Randy McElligott. This afternoon, we have quite an interesting lineup of jazz for your listening pleasure. So we're going to get started with some interesting music by a group known as Braham. That's Amwar Braham. He plays oud, which is similar to a lute, if you want to look at it that way. It's a beautiful instrument. Braham Sermon and Holland. Now, Sermon is John Sermon, the great sax player, and Holland is the bassist, Dave Holland. This is a recording that was made live in concert, I believe. If I'm not mistaken, I think this was in Germany. We're going to start off with a beautiful number entitled Badra. Thank you. Beautiful piece of music. That was music from Anwar Ibrahim with John Sermon and Dave Holland. Anwar was born in Tunis in October of 1957, and hopefully I'll be playing more of his music in the upcoming weeks. We're going to listen now to some music from Mark Turner from his album In This World and a tune called Beau Brussels. Thank you.
pour une radio sans stress, dans une atmosphère décontractée, CHUO 89.1, en harmonie avec la communauté et le jazz.
And you're listening to In Transition on CHUO-FM. My name is Randy McElligott. We just heard some great music from Miles Davis with a composition from Michael Jackson called Human Nature, and that was recorded live at the Montreux International Jazz Festival in Switzerland. We're going to be back in a few minutes' time with music from vocalist Laura Theodore, but first...
I'm Rolf Klausner. Welcome to Fall Rhapsody Radio, an initiative of the National Capital Commission in collaboration with CHUO. From September 30th to October 15th, between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m., a 10-minute program will be aired in French on the hour and in English every half hour. In the second weekend of Fall Rhapsody, there'll be lots more great activities for you to take part in. Why not participate in the Fall Rhapsody Amateur Photo Contest, organized by the National Capital Commission in collaboration with Japan Camera and Fujifilm Canada. The suggested theme for this year is Gatineau Park Lakes and Streams Under Fall Colors. There are lots of great prizes to win, so take part. All the details are on the NCC website at www.canadascapital.gc.ca/Gatineau. On Saturday, October 7th, Sunday, October 8th, and Monday the 9th, take part in the guided hikes of the Sugarbush Trail, which are universally accessible. You'll learn to recognize some of the 40 or so species of trees found in the park. This hike will be led by a nature interpreter. On Thanksgiving Day, Monday, October 9th, don't miss all the great activities for kids. There'll be pumpkin carving and games under the teepee at the Mackenzie King Estate. As well, storyteller Arthur L'Aventurier will be there to share his musical stories and legends at the Gatineau Park Visitor Center. Fall Rhapsody Radio will feature short information segments about the natural treasures, history, and many hidden facets of Gatineau Park. Our guest today is Michel Vien, Senior Manager for Natural Resources and Land Management at the park. Here he is describing the richness of Gatineau Park and discussing an NCC study to measure it.
Many visitors that come into Gatineau Park do not realize the richness in terms of biodiversity of Gatineau Park. And when we're talking about biodiversity, what we're saying here is the variety of all the species that exist in Gatineau Park. In fact, 60% of all the species in Canada are found in Gatineau Park. We have over 2,800 species in Gatineau Park. For example, we have 234 species of birds, 53 species of mammals, 52 species of fish, etc., etc. So the park is extremely rich, not only in terms of the biodiversity, in terms of species, but what reflects that is the fact that we have a huge variety also of habitats. When we have varied habitats, we have varied species. Obviously, they go together, obviously. So the park, in terms of this richness, in terms of natural resources, is extremely, extremely important. The NCC realizes the importance of maintaining this level of biodiversity on all of its lands. And the NCC, for that reason, and because the NCC wants also to follow the International Convention on Biological Diversity, we decided to do a study on biodiversity, a long-term study on biodiversity. And the NCC asked a specialized firm to help us in doing that task.
Measuring biodiversity, it's quite a challenge. Makes you wonder how they did it. Let's listen to Michel explaining how the NCC decided to deal with this.
This study was done over a period of about 2 years. And the methodology that was developed for this was innovative methodology, because when we asked consultants to look at all the studies done in Canada of that nature, they found none or almost none that could effectively assess the health of a whole system such as Gatineau Park in terms of biodiversity over long term. So the methodology was developed specifically for the NCC. In terms of following the biodiversity, what we did is that instead of following obviously all the species, which is irrealistic, we decided to focus on what we call bioindicators. Those are species that reflect the health or the tendency of other species, either around them or in their family or the habitats. So we found, in fact, 12 bioindicators that were chosen to do the follow-up of the biodiversity over long term. Those bioindicators were found after discussing with scientific experts and doing lots of research in terms of all the information that existed out there in terms of monitoring the biodiversity.
Here, Michelle gives us examples of bioindicators for the park and how the NCC will use the results for this research.
The monitoring program, in fact, is over a period of 20 years. Certain bioindicators are going to be followed over 3-year periods, some 5-year period, and some even 8-year period. The 12 bioindicators that we have decided to follow, we have, for example, decided to follow the frogs is a good bioindicator. Rare species also of plants is a good bioindicator. So we have 12 of them. They're not only species, but some of those bioindicators are also habitats themselves, because the International Convention on Biodiversity asks us not only to follow the species, but also to follow the habitats and ecosystems, which we have also identified in our study. The end result of this study, in fact, is going to help the Commission. This is a tool for the Commission to determine what is the tendency in terms of biodiversity in Gander Park. If the tendency is going to increase, that's fine. But if it's going to decrease, and if we see by following those bioindicators that the tendency is going down, then the Commission can react before something happens. So it's a scientific base approach for us to react and adjust ourselves to make sure that the biodiversity is maintained for the long term in Gander Park.
If you want to know more about this study, you can register with the Parks Research Forum, where our guest natural resources and land manager Michel Vien will be doing a presentation. This activity will be presented by Friends of Gatineau Park on October 14th. For more information and to register, please call the Parks Visitor Center at 819-827-2020. In our upcoming shows, other experts will share with us their knowledge of the park's natural treasures and history. Don't forget to tune into Fall Rhapsody Radio, which will air until October 15th on CHUO 89.1 FM. Hear it in French on the hour and in English every half hour between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. Every 10-minute show features information about the Fall Rhapsody program and helps you discover little-known aspects of Gatineau Park. Thanks for listening, and hope to see you at the park. The NCC and CHUO 89.1 FM invite you to enter the Fall Rhapsody Contest with prizes worth over $600. Two lucky families will win an all-season pass to Gatineau Park, including cross-country skiing and free summer parking. The entry form is on the back of the Fall Rhapsody pamphlet and can be dropped off at the Visitor Center in Gatineau Park or at the Mackenzie King Estate. Tune into CHUO on weekends from 11 to 4 p.m. for more info on Fall Rhapsody and all the contest details.
And we're back. My name is Randy McElligott, and you're listening to In Transition. And we're going to continue with some music from vocalist Laura Theodore. And this is a great live recording recorded at Vartan Jazz. We're going to listen to her version of The Day It Rained.
Every day I have the blues. Every day and every night I have the blues. So when you see me worried, people, you know it's you I hate to lose. Nobody loves me, I said that nobody seems to care. No. Don't know where, just where I'm gonna go. So I'm gonna pack my suitcase, I'm gonna move on down the line. Yes, I will. Pack my suitcase, and baby, just move right down the line. Bad luck and trouble, I've had my time. Yeah, say it a day, I'm over there. the blues.
Theodore in a rousing performance there at the Vartan Jazz Club, and we heard The Day It Rained. We're going to go back and listen to some music from Gordon Bennett and the Bennett Archives, and I'm not quite sure what he has on tap today, so it's a surprise to you and to me as well. So we're going to listen now to some music from Gordon Bennett right now.
And now we go to the only, how can you put it, the only string bass solo to get on the Hit Parade. Of course, it's done by Bob Haggart, and we'll have him play his million disc bestseller, The Big Noise, from Winnetka. On drums is Buzzy Druten, recorded in 1964. And we finish this particular set of two with Kenny Ball's famous composition, Midnight in Moscow. Rather than play Kenny Ball, I like Kenny Ball, but I thought we'd do something different. I've got it done by Eddie Condon. And with Eddie Condon is Lou McGarrity on trombone, Bobby Hackett cornet, Jack Lesberg bass, Dick Carey piano, Buzzy Druten again on drums. The composer, by the way, of Midnight in Moscow, which was originally called Moscow Nights, is V, Solianeff, and Sidi. I don't know who they are. Anyway, I think actually Moscow Nights was a Russian traditional folk song, and therefore on the public domain anyway. So we'll hear bassist Bob Haggart with Big Noise from Winnetka, and then we'll hear Eddie Condon playing Kenny Ball's big hit, Midnight in Moscow.
Thank you.
that was Midnight in Moscow, the great hit of Kenny Ball's, played by Eddie Condon. And before that, Bob Haggett and Buzzy Druten playing Big Noise from Winnetka.
I'm curious. Have you paid the rent yet? What about your cell phone plan, gym membership, and 14th century Moldavian history tutor? And what does that leave for car insurance? No problem. Because at Bel Air Direct, we offer a 10% student discount, a 5% web discount, and access to quotes from our competitors. Huh? Now you're curious.
Get a well-deserved break on car insurance. Hard to believe? See for yourself. Visit belairdirect.com. Some conditions apply.
We just heard some music from the Bennett Archives and two tracks, one from Bob Haggart. With a great tune called Big Noise from Winnetka. And then we heard some music from Eddie Condon with Midnight in Moscow. We're going to listen now to one of my favorite pianists, someone who played with Ella Fitzgerald for many years. We're going to listen to some Tommy Flanagan. And this is his version of A Child is Born. This was recorded live in Detroit a few years ago.
I like to do a Thad Jones piece. It's called A Child is Born.
Thank you. for all the most exciting and thrilling music around. Keep your dial locked to CHUO 89.1 FM.
Beautiful rendition of A Child Is Born. I just love the touch that Tommy Flanagan had on the piano. He was so gentle and so lyrical, getting inside the notes and just making them sound rounded instead of sharp and brittle. A beautiful, beautiful performer. We're going to be back in a few minutes with some music from Hans Teuber.
Ici Sarah Onyango et bienvenue à Radio Coloris, une émission de radio sur le coloris automnal. C'est une initiative de la CCN en collaboration avec CHUO. Tous les week-ends, du 30 septembre au 15 octobre, à compter de 11h et jusqu'à 16h, à l'heure en français, à la demi-heure en anglais. Au cours du deuxième week-end de coloris, il y aura encore plus d'activités. Vous pouvez participer au concours de photos de coloris. Le concours est organisé par la Commission de la Capitale Nationale en collaboration avec le Centre japonais de la photo et Fujifilm Canada. Le thème suggéré, les lacs et ruisseaux du parc de la Gatineau sous les couleurs d'automne. Tous les détails se trouvent sur le site web de la CCN au www.capitaleducanada.gc.ca/Gatineau. Les 7, 8 et 9 octobre, il y aura des randonnées d'interprétation de la nature sur le sentier de la sucrerie avec accès universel. Venez apprendre à reconnaître certaines des quelques 40 espèces d'arbres du parc au cours de ces randonnées guidées offertes par un naturaliste interprète. Ne manquez pas la journée spéciale consacrée aux enfants le lundi 9 octobre, le jour de l'Action de grâce, au domaine Mackenzie King et au centre des visiteurs du parc. Il y aura aussi des sculptures de citrouilles au domaine Mackenzie King. Il y aura de la musique, des contes et légendes par Arthur l'Aventurier au centre des visiteurs du parc. Dans le cadre de Radio Coloris, nous allons vous présenter de courtes capsules d'informations sur la nature et l'histoire du parc. Aujourd'hui, notre invitée est Geneviève Pilon, naturaliste-interprète pour les amis du parc de la Gatineau. Écoutons Geneviève nous expliquer comment et pourquoi les feuilles changent de couleur à l'automne.
Ce qui donne la coloration verte à la feuille, c'est la molécule de chlorophylle. La chlorophylle, c'est une molécule extraordinaire qui est très, très importante parce que c'est elle qui permet de prendre l'énergie du soleil et la transformer en sucre. C'est une molécule aussi qui est fragile, c'est-à-dire que tout l'été, elle doit être constamment resynthétisée. Elle doit être formée et reformée tout le long de l'été, puis elle a besoin du soleil pour faire ça. Qu'est-ce qui arrive à l'automne? Bien, à l'automne, les journées raccourcissent. L'exposition de la chlorophylle à la lumière, toute la lumière qu'elle a besoin pour toujours se reformer, est diminuée aussi. Alors, elle commence tranquillement à être moins formée, donc à se dégrader. Donc, quand les journées diminuent, la feuille commence à se dépigmenter, si on peut dire, de sa pigmentation verte. L'été, la feuille, elle a l'air verte parce qu'à peu près, il y a tellement de chlorophylle comparé aux autres pigments qu'on ne les voit pas. Ils sont complètement cachés, puis on voit juste le vert. Quand la chlorophylle s'en va, on voit apparaître tranquillement le jaune et puis le orange. Ça, c'est des pigments qui sont déjà là.
Bon, c'est un début. Mon intuition me dit que pour le rouge, l'explication sera un peu plus complexe. De nouveau, écoutons Geneviève.
Le rouge, il est fabriqué en automne. Sans aller dans les détails, là, on peut juste dire, donc, à l'automne, les journées diminuent, la température aussi diminue, puis l'arbre, ben, il se prépare, c'est son signal, il se prépare à passer l'hiver. Son tronc, il est protégé par son écorce, ses racines sont bien enfouies dans la terre, mais les feuilles, c'est un tissu mou, elles gèleraient, donc l'arbre se prépare à s'en départir. Et puis, pour faire ça, juste à la base de la feuille, à la base de sa tige, son pétiole, il va former un bouchon de liège, donc ce qui va ralentir le courant, là, les échanges de sève, la sève qui monte, la sève brute qui monte dans la feuille et la sève élaborée avec le sucre qui descend et qui retourne à l'arbre. Ça, c'est tout ralenti. Donc, vu que le sucre qui a été élaboré ne peut pas retourner aussi bien, il s'accumule dans la feuille. Puis chez certaines espèces, pas toutes, Le sucre accumulé, il va être transformé, encore avec certaines conditions, la lumière, tout ça, va être transformé en un autre pigment qui est l'anthocyanine et puis qui est rouge.
Vous savez peut-être que l'intensité des couleurs n'est pas la même à chaque année. Voyons ce que Geneviève peut nous dire à ce sujet.
Quand on dit les autres couleurs sont déjà là, donc c'est déjà dedans. C'est des molécules qui sont stables. Quand la chlorophylle s'en va, elles sont quand même stables, elles restent là. On les voit. On voit du jaune, on voit du orange. Tandis que le rouge, ça va dépendre de l'automne qu'on a. Ça va dépendre, vu qu'il est synthétisé en automne, ça va dépendre de certaines conditions. Une même espèce qui pousse dans deux qui est dans le même climat, là, qui a eu les mêmes nuits, les mêmes jours, mais qui est dans deux endroits différents, n'aura pas les mêmes rouges nécessairement, parce que ça dépend de la qualité de sa sève. Si le lab pousse dans un milieu acide, ça va être un rouge beaucoup plus vif, tandis que si c'est dans un milieu alcalin, ça va être un rouge plus violacé. Les conditions gagnantes pour avoir les plus beaux rouges, ce sont les nuits fraîches et les journées ensoleillées. Les nuits fraîches, mais il ne faut pas que ça gèle, par contre, parce que s'il y a du gel, ben les feuilles meurent, simplement. Donc, elles deviennent brunes, elles tombent, puis on n'a pas des beaux rouges. Donc, ça ne prend pas de gel et ça prend des journées ensoleillées parce que, ben pour produire ces sucres, ils continuent quand même à en produire à l'automne. Pour produire les sucres, la feuille, elle a besoin du soleil.
Pour terminer, Geneviève nous parle des espèces d'arbres qui participent au spectacle de coloris automnal au parc de la Gatineau.
Les espèces qu'on a dans le parc qui donnent des rouges comme ça, qui font ce processus-là, il y en a quelques-unes. On sait que y a la plus spectaculaire, peut-être, c'est l'érable rouge, qui donne vraiment un rouge caractéristique, là, un rouge vif. Et il y a aussi l'érable à sucre. L'érable à sucre a tendance, on voit la différence un peu, il a tendance à être plus sur le orangé, là, mais des fois, c'est orange-rouge. Là, c'est vraiment des belles couleurs. Il y a le vinaigrier, il y en a d'autres. En fait, c'est les mêmes pigments, cette pigmentation-là qui va donner le rouge à la pomme, aux cerises, à d'autres fruits aussi. Ce qui fait qu'on a tellement des belles couleurs dans le parc, c'est parce qu'on a beaucoup d'érablières. Aussi, c'est qu'il y a une variété d'espèces. Donc, on a des jaunes, on a des rouges. C'est le contraste des couleurs. Si c'était tout rouge, ça ne serait pas aussi magnifique que le rouge avec le jaune, avec l'orange. Puis évidemment, on a des forêts, on a une forêt mixte ici, donc il y a des conifères. Donc, le vert qui fait ressortir le rouge, c'est de toute beauté. Ça dépend des années, mais c'est souvent autour de la première d'octobre. C'est là que les feuilles sont à leur maximum.
Merci à Geneviève Pilon, naturaliste-interprète pour les Amis du Parc de la Gatineau. Geneviève sera votre guide si vous décidez de participer aux tournées d'identification des arbres présentées au Centre des visiteurs les week-ends de coloris. Les randonnées sont offertes gratuitement en français à 13h30 et en anglais à 10h30. Nous aurons la chance de vous présenter d'autres spécialistes qui partageront avec vous leurs connaissances de la nature et de l'histoire du parc. Nous vous rappelons que vous pourrez syntoniser Radio Coloris tous les week-ends jusqu'au 15 octobre sur les ondes de CHUO. Radio Coloris est diffusée en français aux heures et en anglais aux demi-heures, de 11h à 16h. Les capsules de 10 minutes vous renseignent sur la programmation de coloris et vous aide à découvrir les mille et un secrets du parc de la Gatineau. Au revoir.
Participez au concours coloris automnal sur CHUO. Il y aura plus de 600 $ en prix et deux familles chanceuses gagneront des laissez-passer pour le ski de fond en hiver et le stationnement en été au parc de la Gatineau. Une fois que vous avez rempli votre formulaire, vous pouvez le déposer au Centre des visiteurs au parc de la Gatineau ou bien au domaine Mackenzie King. Écoutez CHUO les fins de semaine entre 11h et 16h pour tous les détails nécessaires sur le coloris automnal. Soyez-y!
And welcome back to In Transition. My name is Randy McElligott. We're going to continue with sax player Hans Tober. This is from his album Lucky, and a beautiful piece of music, actually, when you listen to this. It's a nice arrangement of a tune called C Minor Waltz. Thank you.
Okay, here's a nice ballad for you to walk on. It's a beautiful ballad from a brand new album that was released in Holland on Timeless Records, called Jazz Poet. And it's a composition by J.J. Johnson called Lament.
Thank you. of Sound is Ottawa's newest hi-fi store, providing a new alternative for local audiophiles. Planet of Sound carries many of the top names in hi-fi, including Cyrus, Riga, Epos, Creek, and Project. We also boast the largest turntable and audiophile software selection in Ottawa. Plus, our trade-in policy allows you to sell your old gear to get something new. Come see us at 1194 Bank Street in Old Ottawa South, or visit us on the web at www.planetofsoundonline.com. Planet of Sound, bringing you the best audio from around the world.
That was music from Tommy Flanagan. That was recorded live at the North Sea Jazz Festival, and we heard his beautiful version of Lament. And just before that, Hans Tober with C Minor Waltz from his album Lucky. We're going to listen now to some music from Slide Hampton. This is taken from his album Roots, and this tune is called Maple Street.
Yeah.
Listening to In Transition on CHUO FM. My name is Randy McElligott. We're going to be back with some music from guitarist Ben Maunder right after this.
I'm Rolf Klausner. Welcome to Fall Rhapsody Radio, an initiative of the National Capital Commission in collaboration with CHUO. From September 30th to October 15th, between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m., a 10-minute program will be aired in French on the hour and in English every half hour. In the second weekend of Fall Rhapsody, there'll be lots more great activities for you to take part in. Why not participate in the Fall Rhapsody Amateur Photo Contest, organized by the National Capital Commission in collaboration with Japan Camera and Fujifilm Canada? The suggested theme for this year is Gatineau Park Lakes and Streams Under Fall Colors. There are lots of great prizes to win, so take part. All the details are on the NCC website at www.canadascapital.gc.ca/Gatineau. On Saturday, October 7th, Sunday, October 8th, and Monday the 9th, take part in the guided hikes of the Sugarbush Trail, which are universally accessible. You'll learn to recognize some of the 40 or so species of trees found in the park. This hike will be led by a nature interpreter. On Thanksgiving Day, Monday, October 9th, don't miss all the great activities for kids. There'll be pumpkin carving and games under the teepee at the Mackenzie King Estate. As well, storyteller Arthur Laventurier will be there to share his musical stories and legends at the Gatineau Park Visitor Center. Fall Rhapsody Radio will feature short information segments about the natural treasures, history, and many hidden facets of Gatineau Park. Our guest today is Genevieve Pilon, nature interpreter for the Friends of Gatineau Park. She begins by explaining why the leaf colors change.
Well, actually, we could say that they don't. They just start showing in the fall colors that were already there, but were masked. Because in each leaf, there's a number of pigments of different colors. The leaf appears green, however, in the summer, because the green pigments are in much larger quantities. This green pigment is the amazing molecule responsible for the process of photosynthesis we all heard of, where, simply put, the plant takes the sun energy and transforms it into sugars. This green pigment is, of course, the chlorophyll. In summer, when it is constantly being synthesized, it accounts for about 98% of the leaf's pigments. But what happens in the fall is that with shorter days and lower temperature, the rate of chlorophyll production slows down and the green color fades. And to our pleasure, we start to see, peeking out, the other colors already present in the leaves. Like different and different trees have different pigments in their leaves. For example, birch and ashes and hickories have more of the yellow pigment, the carotenoids.
Well, that's a start. I've got a feeling, however, that the process for the reds might be a little bit more complex. Let's see if Genevieve can explain.
Well, like other star apparitions, their presence and the state they will show up in is not as predictable as the other colors, because they are not already present in the leaf, but are made up at the time the leaf turns color. There are a number of changes the tree has to make to survive the winter. One of them is to gradually reduce and then completely stop the free-flowing of sap between its branches and its leaves. And since the sugar made up by the leaf can no longer flow into the tree, it accumulates in the leaf, and it is the concentration of sugar that triggers a reaction where the final product is the red pigment, the anthocyanin. This reaction happens only in some species. Perhaps the most well-known is the red maple. If there is the presence of carotenoid, the yellow pigment, remember, when the red pigment is formed, as in sugar maple, for example, we witness a whole range of color from bright yellow to oranges to red. It almost seems like the tree has been illuminated by the inside.
Now, you may have noticed that some years seem to be better than others for fall colors. Here, Genevieve explains why.
Since the reds are synthesized in the fall, their tones and brightness are affected by the climatic conditions. The winning conditions for majestic falls are cool, dry nights without frost, followed by dry, sunny days. The coolness makes the formation of the red pigment possible, and the dryness makes the red more intense since the sugar concentration is greater. So the redness of leaves depends on the weather and also on the quality of the soil where the tree is growing. If a red maple is on a more acidic soil, its leaves will turn bright red. But if it is on an alkaline soil, there will be more purpley red. It's the same for oaks and the same for sumac and all those that make this anthocyanin pigment.
To conclude, we ask Genevieve to summarize all this information for us.
Let's just remember that deciduous trees and shrubs have different colors in their leaves. The highest concentration of color in summer is the green. However, in fall, when the green fades, the other colors already present start to show up. Only some species produce red pigments, and they do so in the fall. The most renowned for their reds are the maple trees. Understandably, since maple groves are the most common type of forest in our region, And knowing that Maple Grove have a great variety of deciduous trees contrasted by the persistent green of the conifers, we are not surprised that all the potential is there for one of the world's most delightful nature show. The time of year where that show is at its peak is often around the first days of October.
Our thanks to Geneviève Pilon, nature interpreter for the Friends of Gatineau Park. Geneviève will be your guide if you decide to take part on the tree identification tours presented on weekends during Fall Rhapsody. The free tours are presented in English at 10:30 a.m. and in French at 1:30 p.m. Don't forget to tune into Fall Rhapsody Radio, which will air until October 15th on CHUO 89.1 FM. Hear it in French on the hour and in English every half hour between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. Every 10-minute show features information about the Fall Rhapsody program and helps you discover little-known aspects of Gatineau Park. Thanks for listening, and hope to see you at the park. The NCC and CHUO 89.1 FM invite you to enter the Fall Rhapsody Contest with prizes worth over $600. Two lucky families will win an all-season pass to Gatineau Park, including cross-country skiing and free summer parking. The entry form is on the back of the Fall Rhapsody pamphlet and can be dropped off at the Visitor Center in Gatineau Park or at the Mackenzie King Estate. Tune into CHUO on weekends from 11 to 4 p.m. for more info on Fall Rhapsody and all the contest details.
And as promised, here's music from guitarist Ben Maunder from his album Excavation. We're going to listen to a track called Sunny Manitoba. Thank you. That was music from flautist Mark Weinstein from his album Three Deuces and his version of the standard Sweet Lorraine. We started the set off with guitarist Ben Maunder from his album Excavation and Sunny Manitoba. One of my favorite guitarists from Hungary was Ilek Basic. We're going to listen to a beautiful number here called The Midnight Sun Never Sets Twice. Or The Midnight Sun Will Never Set. This is music from guitarist Ilek Basic on In Transition. Thank you. We just heard some music from the great Duke Ellington along with Count Basie together in a very fine recording called The First Time, and we heard a track called To You. Just before that, we heard music from Hungarian guitarist Elek Basic from his album Guitar Conceptions and a beautiful tune called The Midnight Sun Will Never Set. I'm Randy McElligott. I'll be back next week with some more jazz. Don't forget, coming up in about 3 minutes' time, we have the Ethiopian show until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Have a great week. Bye for now.